Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is a weekly program sponsored by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is a full-service precious metals broker-dealer located in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is committed to honesty and integrity in every transaction. Now here's the host of True Wealth, Kevin Wolter.
Welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor, sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus is located in the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza at 3201 North Division Street and can be reached by phone in Spokane at 444-0044. Outside Spokane, toll free 877-827-2646. Or for those of you who are highly literate, 877-TAP-COIN. 877, and then you spell out the word tap and the word coin right on your little dial there, and that's a good long distance number to get us. You can also get us through our website at coinsplus.com, where we do post over all of our previously recorded radio shows. Coins Plus is a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. We buy and sell all forms of precious metals and rare coins. We offer precious metals and rare coin investment portfolio building guidance. We have a sister company, Clock Tower Jewelry, that specializes in buying and selling all forms of gold jewelry, as well as scrap gold and diamonds, quality diamonds, little diamonds, you name it. But, you know, the real money is obviously in quality diamonds. And we offer one of the highest rated privately held depository services nationwide. Hands down, the finest depository service privately held in the Northwest United States. The first half of the show, or the last half hour, we talked a fair amount about numismatic coins, semi-numismatic coins, and why they're an important part of a portfolio, and they certainly are. There is a lot of value in them right now, folks, a lot of opportunity, and they're just an excellent way to put stuff away. I understand there's been there's a big focus on precious metals, and there's a lot of good about them. You know, your gold and silver and platinum type products, you know, biblically endorsed and authorized, written from the beginning of the scripture clear to the end. You know, the first gift that Christ got while he was on earth, the basically number one construction element in the Temple of Solomon, numerous mentions of gold all throughout heaven. Basically, David in Psalms 119 says, "Because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold." So what's he saying? He's saying he loves God more than what? The single most valuable prized possession on earth. He's taking the absolute pinnacle item on earth that God gave us, pure gold. He's saying, I love your word more than pure gold. Well, that tells us there's something pretty legitimate about gold. And again, in Proverbs 22:1, he says, "A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold." Again, basically, whenever there's a biblical comparative, and again, Genesis chapter 2 says that gold is good, it's wealth, health, preservation, everything, the highest rabbinical words available at the time, still. And, it's shown as true wealth and blessing throughout the entire Bible and throughout heaven and so on. There's in people casting it in the streets at the end and all this kind of stuff. We know that precious metals are the single highest form of wealth on planet Earth. If the Bible is not accurate, what is? Do you believe that because man has created technology to a point where we first of all went into a massive monopoly money craze where a bunch of wealthy rich bankers conned us into trading all of our assets for debt backed by monopoly toilet paper, that somehow we've outsmarted God's truths? No. Precious metals based assets are the single pinnacle form of wealth on earth. Now, of course, like I've said, all the things that are biblically attributed as wealth, gold and silver, livestock, real estate, and human life, That's the full package. Again, I always throw in the disclaimer. He does mention diamonds and rubies a few times through there as being some pretty beautiful, precious things, but they're not really shown as wealth. There's no examples of the patriarchs or anybody really biblical as using gemstones and diamonds as a form of currency or being a real sign of riches. It's more of an expression of incredible beauty. My personal belief is that precious metals are the ultimate universal element, not just here on Earth. And I won't get into that whole debate and explanation, but in my mind, there's absolutely hands down no question that God has creations all throughout the universe, phenomenally amazing creations of all different types. There's stories going back to the very beginning when people had apparently either a great imagination or some wild experiences of beings coming from other places, mining gold on Earth and leaving. There are dilapidated mines all throughout North Africa and the Middle East that there's no explanation for, including dilapidated weapons-grade uranium mines, where we can still get the high radiation readings, and that, you know, the old myths and legends going way back state that they, you know, basically took the stuff off into outer space. So I'm thinking, and we know biblically that we do know that the sons of God came down to Earth, went into the women of man, had children and all that. So we know there's some kind of other species commingling, and they had to come from somewhere. It's a universal element of value because man came up with a massive scam, a way to rip man off and essentially confiscate all of his wealth. We're not smarter than God. We're not smarter than the Bible. And a lot of people, I think, lose track of that. They really start to believe that we're somehow unique. And really, it's only been since the Bretton Woods Act of the 1940s that we've leaned heavily towards that. And then in the 70s, we went off the gold standard. And how have we done? I mean, technically, we've had a population explosion. And because of that, you know, we have had technology that has increased our wealth base and all this kind of stuff. But in general, look how we're doing right now. I mean, we've gotten to the point where the leader of this nation, our founding fathers, never in their wildest dreams would they have thought that we'd be at the situation we are now. And it's not because of his race. I don't want to be misquoted on that one single bit. I could care less about that. In fact, I would love to see a number of African-American leaders. I can name a few. It has nothing to do with that. It's a strong Muslim, you know, anti-Christian belief system that is so socialistic and so communistic and absolutely unwilling to flex that, you know, this whole system that we're supposedly so intelligent about is backfiring on us faster than anything imaginable. He's doing more damage faster than could even be fathomed. Our economic system, folks, this skewed, unbiblical, anti-constitutional, irrational and illogical economic system of Keynesian economics is at the very root of all of these problems. Without our economic system, this mess we're in would be physically impossible. Why? Because we have basically created a system where our own politicians create all the money they want out of thin air. They've converted us into a system that they tell us is a democracy, so they just keep kicking the can down the road. No one has any responsibility. They point fingers and blame each other like little children, and we are in the captive grips of what's called moral hazard. Moral hazard is a lack of incentive to guard against risk, where one is protected from the consequences. And that is exactly what this system has become, a system of moral hazard. No one has moral accountability. Moral hazard is when someone has an incentive to take unusual risks in a desperate attempt to earn a profit before a specified deadline or point in time. It's a tendency to be more willing to take these risks, knowing that the potential costs or burdens of these risks will be carried or borne by somebody else later down the road. I mean, let's face it, how many of these politicians ever pay the price for what they've done? None of them. Look at what we let people get away with. Empty promises, broken promises, incredible immorality. This is all caused by our system. They can promise anything. They get us to agree to anything. They do create the money that they promised they would, but they never spend it on what they promised they would. Our economic system breeds corruption. There's very few men there that could really be trusted to not do that. These politicians have a small window of opportunity while they're in office to line their pockets and prepare their future to make tremendous amounts of money. And this is why they do what they do. The only thing that is unique about our current leader, I think all previous leaders have had a lot of self-serving interests, including the Clintons. I think what makes Obama unique is the fact that he has it out for America. He appears to despise the fundamental, foundational belief system and philosophies that make this country not only what it is, but that have made this country great. Obama believes that he is of the lineage of Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln was an odd duck, if you study him. And he did fight to free the slaves, and that's a good thing. And he did go to a pretty harsh war, and maybe for the right reasons. But he really thinks Obama's perspective of Abraham Lincoln is completely contrary to what Abraham was. And the reason is, Abraham Lincoln went against the grain. He issued executive orders to do, you know, to fight for the rights of someone's race. That's a big deal. They're born that way. There's no DNA. They're not a different person. They just have different skin color. Now, Obama wants to include in that category homosexuality and poverty, as if poverty and homosexuality are not only protected classes of people, but people with special rights. And you know, as I've said in the past, you look at what a man does, not what he says. There's no doubt that Obama's words are in direct contrast to his actions. He says one thing and does another. I don't know how many of you saw this bill thing this week that they're pushing through with the IRS, that all these employers now are not going to, it's going to be illegal for them to lay off or restructure their business in any way if it's motivated by Obamacare. So they're going to have to testify under threat of perjury that any changes made to their business are not because of Obamacare. In other words, they're saying that this healthcare right is an inalienable right due everyone, okay? Now, arguably, that's not the case. I can't agree with it. I can see where, you know, the poor that don't have coverage, we could find coverage. We could do it for a minute fraction of what we spent. But we have to understand, this leader said he's going to have the most transparent administration in history. He's been the most elusive, evasive, corrupt, deceptive of any that I've heard of, and that most people, historians, agree. He was talking about this stimulus package. You know, it's going to have all these great shovel-ready jobs, all this phenomenal outcome. None of it was true. The money just dissipated like no money before. Clinton generated about $1.8 trillion in 2 terms for the Freddie Project. He really boosted up the economy. Yes, we had debt that was going to be due, but everyone benefited in one way or another through price inflation of their real estate or stock growth or whatever. Yes, it's all a paper bubble, but at least it stayed home in America, and it brought home international money, so it really increased the lining of the pockets of the American, you know, citizen. The problem with what Obama's doing is just the opposite. That money's going overseas. He said he's, you know, the whole time he keeps saying he's focused on creating jobs. He's done the worst job possible ever. He's a politically deceptive genius who adheres closely to the Cloward and Piven strategy, which basically says if you hang enough of the wealth, health and well-being of the citizens on a government. It'll bankrupt the government and force them to have to put everybody on a form of welfare or income. Well, everybody who's signing up for Obamacare is getting put on Medicare and Medicaid, and now they're bragging about what a great job they've done with that. There's been a number of people who've come out and said, wait a minute, I was just filling out some forms, now I'm getting a check. The government says they can't stop until they prove otherwise their qualifications. Everything's about attacking George Bush. Folks, what's wrong with, I mean, Bush, you know, weapons of mass destruction, supposedly an error, but we don't have proof of that. You don't think Saddam could have hid weapons of mass destruction in a desert the size of the United States of America that we might not be able to find it, just possibly? We had four scientists defect that said they'd seen it for a fact. He's used the IRS as his Gestapo to target conservatives. You know, Nixon was charged with attempting to use the IRS for political purposes and impeached. Obama, no problemo. He is using the IRS, and that's okay because the media, you know, the media protects him. I mean, this interview with Bill O'Reilly over the Super Bowl for 10 short minutes when Obama just stalled and dodged and dived and ducked everything he shot at him, and now the left-wing media is attacking Bill O'Reilly for being rude and disrespectful because Geraldo Rivera took this crazy hard run at him, which is kind of hard to believe or understandable. And then, you know, the Benghazi thing, saying that it was a spontaneous riot about some dumb movie that no one had ever seen, written by an American who had free speech rights, who's now been in prison for 2 years because of it. You know, the Trayvon Martin thing, he stuck his nose in and inflamed it, created division and strife there. He said he's going to put an end to the type of politics that breeds division, conflict, and cynicism. And he's done nothing but create division and cynicism. He's made the socialist comments of, you didn't build your business, the government did it. He said he was going to restore trust in the government. In a recent Gallup poll that just came out, 65% of Americans said they're the most dissatisfied with the government they've ever been. This is an all-time record in polling. In 2002, after 9/11, there was only 23% of people dissatisfied. Now we're up to 65%. He stuck his nose in different racial situations without knowing the facts and created mayhem. He, you know, he jammed through the Obamacare bill so no one could read it, see it, touch it, feel it. And then he left all these loopholes where he's adding, editing, and amending everything anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway. You know, he did the Syria thing where he backed off on his word and he said he'd protect whistleblowers, which he has not. He, you know, you get Snowden, who's running like crazy for his life somewhere around the world. He tells us that we got paid back on all the money we gave auto companies and banks for stimulus, which is totally not true. He's encouraged spying. He's got this Terrorist Tuesday where he's making these infinite lists that are growing rapidly of all these people around the world he wants to kill. You know, he deceived us on what Obamacare would do and what it would be by telling us, you know, the story about if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, and everyone's going to save at least $2,500 a year on average. You know, he said it'd be just as easy as shopping on Amazon. He says he knew nothing about fast and furious gun running. However, Hillary Clinton, right when this began, and I don't know why anyone doesn't key on this, she came right out and said, we're the ones that are responsible for the 40,000 murders in Mexico because we're the ones running the guns across the border. Well, that's exactly when Fast and Furious began. No one's ever pinned her to it. But how did she happen to make that comment right at that time? It's pretty obvious. That's the whole thing. You know, Obama denies any knowledge of the IRS targeting. In his interview with O'Reilly during the Super Bowl, he claims there's not a smidgen of evidence of any corruption, even though, you know, people in the IRS that are involved plead the fifth. And I think the reason that he supports the IRS so much is because he basically wants a hardcore radical left-wing liberal socialistic communistic society, and the IRS is the Gestapo. I think Obama's ultimate goal is to have his own private army that will go out and do his dirty work for him. And I think he found a way to get the IRS to do that where he can keep his hands clean. And I'm telling you, or appear to keep them clean. He's got so much corruption around him. When I spent the day with John Boehner here on Coeur d'Alene Lake, he said that, you know, there was a ton more scandals that they wouldn't come out with because they just didn't have the facts. And every single investigation ended up at the White House. He said everything, there's someone at the White House behind it all. But because they couldn't prove it, they wouldn't say it. And if we get into the details of Benghazi and all the drone attacks that have gone on over there and diverted missiles that are supposed to attack Syria and, you know, the Obama deception, there's, you know, from inside sources in the military that are very high up, I've been told that the Osama bin Laden kill in Pakistan was Osama bin Laden's son with the same name and the same DNA, that Osama himself had been dead for quite a while. That's why they threw the body in the ocean right away. And it's also rumored that that helicopter that went down was a trade-off by Obama for the ability to say he killed Osama, so that during the election they could say, Osama's dead and GM's alive and how great things are. And you look at a fool like Joe Biden who just blabbers idiocy, and people want leaders like this. They just think he's a nice guy. And I mean, folks, I'm sorry, but I'm telling you, this is insanity to me. He said he never met his uncle from Kenya, who was in the country illegally at the time and got arrested and told to leave the country over 20 years ago. He said he never even knew this uncle. And then in December of 13, of course, after the election, he admitted that he did not only knew the uncle, but that he lived with him when he first came to America. On that note, I think the biggest lie Obama has ever given is this one. I, Barack Hussein Obama, pledge to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. That's the greatest deception I think this country's ever heard. In the last half hour, folks, I discussed the Bitcoin thing, and that is nothing but a crazy bubble. And on the whole moral hazard, it's, you know, we've got our policymakers that are cheerleaders of these booms. And what we've really got to pay attention to is this whole boom, or the bubble, boom, and bust cycle. If we look at Bitcoin, we look at the stock market, we look at all these things, there is the textbook, they call it the Rodriguez bubble curve. And I, you know, I'm looking at it now, I can't quite go into it much, but it's, you know, the takeoff, the first sell-off, media attention, enthusiasm, greed, delusion, the new paradigm, you know, a backslide with denial, return to normal, and then the, you know, the full free fall based on fear and capitulation and despair. And that's what's going to come with this. That's what has come with the market once and will come again. The market, Dow, S&P 500, artificial indexes, because they remove and replace stocks on a regular basis to deceive. These indexes have climbed based on monetary inflation, the hyper creation of currency, but they will crash up soon. People talk about this big stock market crash. Could it go down to 5,000? Sure, it could. But there's been so much hyperinflation. A Dow Jones Industrial Average at 16,000 today and 15,000 8 years ago and 14,000 8 years before that, in the same amount of time, where we've lost about 75% of the spending power of the dollar just in the last two decades. So we've technically lost 75% of our spending power, which means over that period of time, the Dow, if it was legit and not manipulated and deceptive, would have had to quadruple just to keep up with real inflation. That's just the inflation based on monetary creation. Now that, in addition to the fact that they remove and replace and manipulate the Dow, means that you'd have to double it again or more. So technically you go back 20 years to when, or whatever it is, 17 years ago when the Dow was peaking out near 14,000. In all honesty, folks, today we'd have to be around a 140,000 point Dow to keep up with real inflation. And I'm not exaggerating. Those numbers are legitimately justifiable. And if our economic system is at the root of this, and the Bible prescribes a tangible assets-based financial plan, then that's absolutely what we need to do. And I need, you know, my perspective is to approach it from a point of balance, okay? So we invest for good times, bad times, and in-between times, short, middle, and long term. Now, people were all gung-ho on precious metals. Now, there's still an incredible buying opportunity. The ultimate buying opportunity exists right now because we've had the first dip in a 13-year period of time of growth. Now, it's interesting, though, once it cools off, it makes people nervous and they step back. But I can tell you during this whole thing, numismatic coins and semi-numismatic, they do respond to the metals market because the pressure comes into that sector. So they did very well with it. When the market started to slide off and actually tumble a while, numismatic coins barely came down and then they gradually worked their way down. But the whole thing is there was this big peak back in the mid-2000s. It was great, it was profitable, but it was just crazy. That's part of that boom-bust cycle, was when you get into what's called institutional investors. That's where big companies with huge money come pouring in, and that's essentially what was going on with coins in the mid-2000s. It happened in the mid-1980s, and we're back to that point now where there's people that understand the markets well, they're looking for tangible, solid balance, and they're moving now into numismatic coins. It's really happening. It's really going on. You talk about a shortage of supply and a drastically high level of demand. That's what numismatics brings to the table. Now, I'm not saying dump it all in there. We're just saying have a balanced portfolio. And I also want to put out, if you've picked up these types of coins along the way through various marketing agencies with commission salespeople, please give us a call. Let us evaluate what you have, okay? We have helped people move things around a little bit and just have tremendous responses. And I'm telling you, even if you've got a bunch of weird foreign coins like Swiss 20 francs or whatever, where you can basically take those kinds of items, they're not marked that they're gold, that doesn't say how much gold's in them, you know, it doesn't even say that, you know, anything about them on the coin, and it's a hard time to prove to anybody they are gold. Those are not the most desirable form of gold. We recommend that you have stuff that's broken into even weights, that's readable, that's liquid anywhere at any time, and you keep a nice, well-rounded, balanced portfolio. Give Coins Plus a call, folks, whether it's IRAs, 401ks, investments, savings, protection, short-term, long-term, whatever. We have a strong financial background. We're not just pitching coins. We've got a very extensive economic and financial background. We can offer a lot of good, solid, sound advice. Give us a call at 444-0044 in Spokane. And let us help you secure your wealth in a biblically sound, financially conservative manner. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care. God bless. Have a fantastic week.
Thank you for listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus, located in Spokane, Washington, at 3201 North Division Street in the Clock Tower Building. Visit our website at coinsplus.com. You can call us locally in Spokane at 444-0044 or toll-free at 877-827-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. And remember to join us every week for True Wealth.